It got to a point where if Belmont was playing a team that their colors are represented in the Skittles bag, I would take those Skittles and throw them in the trash.
You do what you got to do.
Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. That's our Twitter question this morning. What is your sports superstition? I made the mistake of revealing some of mine earlier this morning. I don't know. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's therapeutic for me to get.
At least you don't have to throw out the red Skittles. That's where we've got a big problem.
Yeah, man. You do what you got to do.
Mm.
Teresa Walker, I think, is a big Skittles fan. Joins us now, of course, covers everything under the sun for the Associated Press in this state. Teresa, how you doing this morning?
Kevin, I'm good, but I have to admit, I'm just in horror. You throw away Skittles? I mean, why? Dude, give them to me. Don't throw them away. What did a Skittle ever do to you simply based on colors?
No, I'm talking about if it's the other team's colors, you know, if it's your opponent's colors, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Eat them. I mean, isn't that the best way to attack an opponent?
Yeah, you're digesting them. Yeah.
At least you can give them to someone who loves Skittles.
Okay. Teresa, what is your order of eating Skittles as far as red, orange, purple, yellow, green?
Grab them by the handful and shove them in my mouth. I mean, I am not like Jim Diamond, you know, who helps
right there with you,
predator.
Teresa.
Yes, he will tweet it out. You know, let's put it this way. The last few years with the Predators playoff runs, I bring Skittles. During the season, Jim Diamond brings animal crackers. Well, I bring Skittles and try to pass them up and down the row to share. And Jim will color code them, and then he tweets out the picture, and it's like, I'm OCD. That's way more OCD. Not with candy. When it's candy, I'm just going to take a handful, shove it in my mouth, so I can have my hand free for taking notes.
Right. See, that's a more sensible way of doing it, because I sort them, too. That's the same thing for me. As long as we're talking about the Predators, we're going to get to the Grizzlies in a second. I want to ask you about that number two pick they have. But how active do you see David Poile being this offseason, you know, given with the early flame out in the playoffs and now, you know, a roster that looks like it's going to need some retooling?
Well, that's the thing. It feels like something is going to be done by David Poile. Now, the problem is a couple of contracts that he's done helps paint him into a bit of a corner. You know, the Kyle Turris deal, you watch him over in the Worlds and it's like, well, where's this guy, you know, since they traded for him, you know, nearly 2 years ago, just hadn't really seen that guy here. Well, part of the problem is those are the big surfaces that they're skating on over there at the World, you know, much bigger ice surfaces than what they skate on here. So maybe that's helping him, but that's just a tough contract to unload. And then Ryan Ellis's deal starts this season, and wow, that's an awful lot of money for a guy that, you know, when somebody told me that he had a career high in assists, I went, really? Really? You just did not notice Ryan Ellis, particularly in the playoffs, but the whole season. It just didn't seem like he was Ryan Ellis. And let's put it this way. I'm very curious to see what David Poile does. You know, the one thing we know is he'll do something to try to shake up this roster in some form or fashion, because that's what he does. I'm not sure how he does it. That's going to be the challenge for him.
Teresa Walker is our guest from the Associated Press, covers it all in the state of Tennessee.
Well, Teresa, speaking on the Predators, I guess quickly, then who, or maybe which defenseman do you think has the most value as far as for trade?
Well, I know that everyone wants to go to PK Subban right, because of that $9 million deal, but, you know, guys, you know, who were the people we saw step up in the postseason when they needed a goal? We saw Roman Josi. And David Poile's made it very clear he wants to start talking about a new deal as soon as they get into July, and they can start doing that. Well, PK Subban was the other guy who stepped up in that third period of that one early game and got a goal. That was him. We didn't see him at his healthiest most of the season. And, you know, that's the challenge. You can get him healthy, and yes, he did just turn 30, but, you know, I'm not sure why you want to get rid of him when he just does so much, not to mention what he does for this franchise off the ice. Is there another player on this roster who brings eyeballs to Nashville and the Predators the way PK Subban does? He just has so much more value than you can even put on him on the ice. That's why I'm just curious about Ellis. I know that I had this conversation when we were waiting to talk to the Predators at the end of the season, and it's like, you know, he has a no trade. He does not have a no trade clause. Well, you know, it'd be bad form, I was told by some, that to trade a guy that you just did a deal with. Well, if he gets traded and he's still getting paid, does it matter? How is it going to affect Nashville bringing free agents to the Predators when this is a franchise that in its tenure, the guys that it's signed as free agents have been later in their careers, older guys, or coming off of injury questions who needed to get onto a team. So it's not like Nashville has been out there landing top free agents and trading a guy with a no-trade clause. How is that going to, just put that bounce back on? Absolutely. Is it the kind of thing that could keep people from coming to the Predators in the future? Really tough to see that because guess what? It is business.
Well, we're going to get to the Grizzlies, and John Morant looks like he's going to be the second pick by the Grizzlies probably. And how do you think the mix with him and Conley, if they can't get rid of his contract, work out there in Memphis? He could probably play the two guard as well.
Well, I tell you guys, I went up to, I got the chance to see John Morant and talk with him and his parents. John Morant, the only player since assists became an official stat in 83-84, to finish the season with at least 20 points a game and averaging 10 assists per game. The kid is electric. And, if Memphis drafts him, pairs him with the guy that they got last year, Jaren Jackson Jr., well, they've got the pieces that they can kind of rebuild upon. The challenge, though, is getting rid of Mike Conley, and that's the problem. His contract, when they gave him a max deal 3 years ago, he's still got two more years left on it. That's part of the reason why they ran into trouble trading him at the deadline. They were looking. They just couldn't find the right deal. His deal goes up to $32.5 million this next season. Then it's $34.5 million the year after that. And, the chance to opt out of that disappeared. Why? Because, well, he played in over 55 games this year. So it would be nice if they want to try it. Maybe keep Conley around and help groom Ja Morant, maybe have somebody playing off the ball. Mike Conley had his best year this year, and it almost seemed like when they got rid of Marc Gasol, he kind of blossomed even more as a player. So, but it does feel like they have to be able to get more players on that roster. It just feels like the time of Mike Conley is coming to an end. And guys, honestly, at the end of the season, he told reporters in Memphis that, he kind of hinted as nicely as Mike Conley can that it's time for him to be traded. So the problem is going to be finding somebody. Maybe it's the Lakers, maybe it's the Jazz, Phoenix. I'm really curious to see what team steps up and makes this deal happen because Mike Conley still can play. He had a really great performance, but yeah, his time in Memphis, it just does feel like it's all at an end.
Yeah, it seems like to me, Teresa, Ja Morant, I have compared him, I've called him a humble Russell Westbrook. Now, I know he has referred to himself as God, so I don't know whether humility is the word that you want to use, but I've also listened to him in interviews, and I've paid attention to his game, and I look at a guy with vision of an elite passer, incredible speed, he can jump out of the gym, he can get his own shot, which is the key to the NBA game in 2019. You're even seeing it with Golden State. The difference with Golden State is Curry's the only guy that can get his own shot. Klay Thompson, you still have to set it up. Kevin Durant, when he's on the floor, obviously he can get his own shot. Ja Morant is the kind of guy that can shoot without you having to put him in the spot. He's a facilitator. I think he made a lot of fairly average to mediocre players at Murray State look a lot better than they do. But now you've got to find other guys down low that he can make better. There's still some depth issues, but I would be elated if I was a Memphis Grizzlies fan that Ja Morant might be, the centerpiece of my franchise for the next decade.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as soon as Memphis, and guys, this is what's amazing. Memphis' draft luck in the draft lottery has just been horrible. Most years they go down. Even when they've had the greatest chances to move up, they fall down. So when they moved up with 6.3% of a chance to go from 8 to 2, I mean, it's just amazing. The last time they drafted it, too, was a decade ago. They screwed that up, taking Hasheem Thabeet, who was much better finding the local mall than he was maybe the basket when he was on teams. So this is a huge thing. Ja immediately is the guy that people are wanting down there. That's the name I saw coming from everybody down in Memphis. They understand what the situation is with Mike Conley. And I'll say this. Having seen Zion, he's amazing. He's incredible and all that. But Ja just feels like he's the guy who is going to have a chance maybe to have a longer and more effective career just because he does so much. And you mentioned that passing with, the average talent at Murray. I saw a lot of passes that he was throwing down into the paint, that it's amazing. he's throwing that to an NBA player, they're going to catch it and they're going to finish. And some guys just couldn't handle the passes he was putting on them at Murray. And, you know, they were doing their best, but, you know, he's just playing that much faster than his teammates were. He gets to the NBA, he's going to be on his own talent level.
Teresa, thanks as always. Great stuff.
Thank you so much.
All right. From the Associated Press, Teresa Walker covers Preds, Titans, Grizzlies, all of it here in the state for the AP.